Take it from Job, chapter 41. Job, chapter 41. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a fish hook, or press down his tongue with a cord? Canst thou put a rope into his nose, or pierce his jaw through a hook? Will he make many supplication unto thee, or will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee, that thou should take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird, or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? With the bands of a fisherman make traffic of him? Would they part him a minded merchant? Canst thou fill his skin with the barbed irons, or his head with the fish spears? Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle, and do so no more.
There's going to be a little bit of a change up this evening, a little change of pace. We're going to do a two-parter, finish this off next week, on the subject of did humans and dinosaurs coexist? And it's one of the main differences between evolution and creationism. Evolutionists want to expand the timeline more and more. In fact, even in my time span, The difference supposedly in evolution between when dinosaurs existed and when man existed was only 1 million years. Now it's up to 60 million. So we're going to look to see what the scriptures have to say about these things. There's not going to be much evidence we can give on the evolutionist side because there's no evidence to show that man and dinosaurs didn't exist together. But there's two main areas, and we're going to cover one of them this evening, and the next one next time, and pile up some evidences for that show that man and dinosaurs did exist. And starting with what Joe just read in Job 41, actually covers two beasts in there that God explains to Job, both the behemoth and the leviathan, and both of them seem to be descriptions of what might be dinosaurs, the behemoth being something like a brontosaurus or whatever. And the leviathan, probably the ancestor of the crocodile. Whatever it is, it's a very fierce beast. But just want to put forward that the last part of this, verse 8, lay your hand on him, remember the battle. Evidently, man did exist alongside this creature, that it was very evident. And as we go through this, more and more we're going to look at not only biblical evidence, but also secular evidence, if you put it that way, showing you there are times where it's depicted that dinosaurs and men did exist at the same time. Why is it so difficult for people to accept that dinosaurs and humans once lived together? No doubt one of the reasons is that for many years mankind has been inundated with the information about dinosaurs and humans being separated by at least 60 million years of geologic time. Again, there's no proof for this. I mean, it's pure speculation. In effect, evolutionary scientists and those who accept their timeline have constructed a barrier that must be broken down in order to get people to consider the coexistence of the great lizards and man. We're going to focus on that next week. For this evening, second reason why people are uneasy about the idea of dinosaurs and humans living contemporaneously, on Earth is that in the 21st century, mankind is accustomed to thinking that most of all dinosaurs were enormous killing machines. So how could we coexist? We'll get a little bit into it next time also, but what the Bible tells you before the flood is most dinosaurs, in fact, everything was a veggie source. Man and animals all ate vegetables. It was only after the flood that meat became part of the menu. People seem to think that dinosaurs would have killed all of humans by biting them in half with their supersized teeth, or by hunting them down with cutting them open with their 5-inch long sickle-like, you know, claws, raptors, you know, the picture being painted here. People think that the large plant eaters would have crushed humans with their massive feet or smashed them with huge tails. Humans are all just too small, dumb, and scrawny to have lived during the time of the dinosaurs. At least that seems to be the way many evolutionary scientists, movie makers, book writers, and magazine editors portray these terrible losers. However, I'm going to point out in this lesson that man and monsters still coexist. Still. Just point out a few things and get you used to the idea that it doesn't matter the size of the animal, man was given dominion over him. When a person puts things into proper perspective, it is very reasonable to believe that humans could have lived with dinosaurs. Presently, we live in a world that is home to many incredible creatures, numerous large animals, some of which are very intimidating, cohabiting the earth with humanity, and have for thousands of years. Man generally shies away from some of these animals. Others, however, he has been able to nurture and to tame. Example, the Komodo dragons are the world's largest lizards. I guess they're not classifying them as reptiles, you know, like the crocodiles, although crocodiles are larger than these guys. But they can grow to be 10 feet long, almost twice the length of the average human, and weigh as much as 200 pounds. Might say they're phenomenally strong, too. I saw a documentary where they had one in a cage, a bamboo cage with the bars about that thick. And bamboo, being fibrous, is very strong. And that thing, when it decided it didn't want to be in that cage anymore, very, you know, nonchalantly just walked out as if, you know, that bamboo was nothing but grass. And so they are, you know, an awesome creature. Still, the short, stocky legs can carry them 15 miles per hour, as fast as most dogs run. And after stalking and killing deer, wild boar, and other prey, they devour the dinner in a matter of minutes. Furthermore, these amazing creatures can consume up to 80% of their own weight. A 100-pound Komodo can eat 80 pounds of food in one meal. And if that's not bad enough, the bad news is that they have a deadly virus in their mouth. They're like the Gila monster of our deserts. So when they bite you, you know, there's something that can infect you, a poison. Despite its size, its sharp teeth, its speed, power, poison, and digestive habits, neither this animal nor any other large reptile, like the anaconda, has kept man from flourishing on the earth. Consider the world's largest land animal, which we share the planet with, the imperial elephant. With somewhat amusing features, this like long noses and big ears, these awesome animals can reach heights up to, or weights up to 22,000 pounds. One elephant easily can kill a man just by stepping on him with a foot or striking him with his powerful trunk, not to mention goring him with a long tusk, or just picking him up and throwing him. Yet for thousands of years, humans have been known to live with and even tame these incredible beasts. In history, over 2,200 years ago, the Empire of Carthage is famous for its general, Hannibal, using tamed. Now, we're used to, you know, seeing tamed Indian elephants. We figure they're the more docile. But he had tamed African elephants that he crossed the mountains with to enter into to Rome. And they were like his tanks. Today, many elephants are still being controlled by man. Tamed elephants are used in various Asian countries in religious ceremonies to do physical labor like hauling logs or lumber or transporting people from place to place. Elephants also are frequently seen performing in circuses. Is it not amazing that humans have trained these creatures, which outweigh them by about 20,000 pounds, or perform some of the same tricks we train dogs to do? Humans have been able to live alongside elephants for thousands of years. Some humans and elephants even have become good friends. Why then is it so hard to think of people, to think of humans living together with some of the large dinosaurs? Yes, some dinosaurs like the Brontosaurus grew to be about 4 times larger than the largest elephants, but surely we can agree, however, that if man can work, play, or go battle alongside or on top of elephants, certainly not as absurd to think that humans did similar things with certain dinosaurs. In fact, we're going to show you pictures of them, you know, this very thing next week. Especially when you consider that the average dinosaur is about the size of a large cow. You know, we think of them as being bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, if you're watching the Jurassic Park series. But a lot of the dinosaurs were a lot smaller. Whales are the largest mammals we know of that have ever existed on Earth. Larger than any shark, elephant, or most dinosaurs. Blue whales have been known to weigh as much as 400,000 pounds or 200 tons. They have the heart of the size of a Volkswagen and a tongue large enough to hold 50 people. In fact, they're still working with one off the coast to try to rescue it from an entanglement that's been in the news all this week. Yet humans have hunted many species of whales for centuries, almost to extinction. Furthermore, whale researchers and photographers have been able to get close enough to touch these massive creatures in the open sea. Killer whales, the orcas, are another one of God's magnificent creatures in which we coexist. Orcas are one of the ocean's fiercest predators, able even to kill much larger whales, including the blue whales, when swimming in packs or pods. They hunt so well that very few animals can escape their predatory practices. Orcas eat thousands of pounds of mammal and fish meat every year. Seals, sea lions, walruses, otters, polar bears, and even a moose have been found in the stomachs of these ferocious creatures. Amazingly, these large killing machines, weighing as much as 11,000 pounds, can be captured, tamed, and trained to do all sorts of things. The famous orcas living at SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida, occasionally take their trainers for rides on their backs. Trainers of orcas even have been known to stick their heads inside the whale's mouth. This mouth holds 40 to 56 large 3-inch long teeth. Something like that. Oh, there's a little passage there. James inserted it. Come on. James 3:7. Something from the scriptures. Notice, yeah, it's just inserted into James, but notice what it says. Every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. Yeah. James speaking by inspiration. So even 2,000 years ago, it was known that just about everything's been tamed. If humans today can manipulate animals that are 100 times their own size, like the elephant, that have a mouthful of 3-inch long dagger-like teeth, like the killer whale, or that have claws that can usually, you know, literally rip human beings apart, tigers, lions, bears, why is it so difficult to believe that humans and dinosaurs once inhabited the earth at the same time? Admittedly, many human lives likely were lost to certain species of dinosaurs for various reasons, but for thousands of years, people have also lost their lives to animals that still inhabit the earth today. Nothing's really changed. How can a, in fact, next time we're going to show you how they may have conquered, you know, hunting techniques and other things that early man used. In fact, if you look at the history of Assyria, they were like a race of Rambos. Their walls are decorated with lion hunts where the rulers and others just go out and hunt lions with spears. That was the sport. Hundreds of lions. Daniel and the lion's den. That was the thing. They hunted these massive beasts. And generally with, the smallest, the less of a weapon you could use, the more macho you were figured on being. The Nimrods of the time. Again, we'll look at those. How can a 150-pound man teach a 10,000-pound whale to jump hurdles, ring bells, perform other neat tricks without fear of being harmed? The answer is found in the fact that God gave man in his own, made man in his own image, and gave him the ability to have dominance over the lower creation. As early as Genesis chapter 1, we read, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Also, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, man and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule." And this is the command that God gave man, to rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Psalms 8. "What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands." Okay, that was man's task, to make sure he ruled over things. Again, we're going to bring it up next week, but one of the things that God had a hand in is that when man and animals, you know, first created, there was no enmity between them. Like I said, they all ate vegetation, and they got along. You know, God created the animals before Adam, and he gave them all the name. And so there was no animosity between the two. It was only after the flood that things changed, and God put the fear of man into the animal. And so you have to reckon that into it. Again, you know, most animals that, you know, we know of have an aversion to man. You know, and man comes in the area, the animal leaves, no matter how big it is. It's only a rare occasion that, you know, the things, you know, kind of turn vicious or attack, you know, if they're protecting their young like a bear. But most of the times, you know, most things are fairly docile. From the smallest, I had a friend who used to keep black widow spiders in his house. He taught his kids, they used to go up to the web and take this black widow off, you know, and play with them for a while. As long as you knew how to handle them, you know, they're very docile. Most of the rattlesnakes, I mean, there's a reason that they give you a warning. If you encounter them and they're in the same vicinity as you, if you just give them a little room, they will crawl away. Okay? That's the way God made it. And so there was probably a natural aversion even among the dinosaurs, you know, to the presence of man. The reason that man can tame or live with even the largest and most vicious creatures on earth is because God created man higher than the animals and gave him the ability to subdue and have dominion over them. If man in the 21st century can live with and or tame such amazing creatures as the Komodo dragon, the elephant, the blue whale, and the killer whale, as well as the lion, tigers, bears, it should not be difficult to accept the fact that man once lived and interacted with dinosaurs. And again, we're going to give you proof that they did at one time. Amazingly, from all we said at the beginning of all that seems to be against this, the latest movie, Jurassic World, you know, most of you have been to see it, I think, suggests this very thing, that, you know, men training gigantic sea monsters to behave like dolphins, and the velociraptors to respond like domesticated dogs. I mean, they're starting to envision this. You know, can these animals be trained? Yeah, even the most vicious and biggest of them. And so it's entering into the mind of man, you know, that this can happen. And that's as far as I'm going to take it this evening. One thing that we do have to consider, though, is the hardest thing for man to tame is himself. That's one of the things that, you know, James, the third chapter, talks about. We make ships, you know, giant ships, do what we want. We put bits in horses' mouths and, you know, we guide them the way we want to. But a lot of times we can't control our own tongue. And this is why it's important that we understand that, you know, God is in control. He's our creator. And he expects things from us, his creation. He gave us, as we, you know, look this, this morning, he gave us the ability to operate on a higher plane than animals. And this is what we have a responsibility to do. Not behave like animals, but behave superior to animals. To behave more like, not that we've worked our way up in evolution, but unfortunately we've fallen down from a point of creation that was in the likeness of God. And we've lost that. And our task as Christians is God working with us now to get that back, to start to bring ourselves under control, to control the tongue, to control the mind. In fact, that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10. We take every thought captive, not only in the minds of others, but in ourselves too. This is the one thing we have to do in order to become the things we, you know, overcome the things we've become addicted to, the kind of behavior patterns we get locked into, that we train ourselves to do the things that are wrong. We can overcome them. God has given us the mental capability of doing that. He's given us the spiritual power. He's given us access to Him in prayer in order to accomplish this hardest thing of all, and which is the main thing that life requires of us, to become again like our Creator. And this is why the church exists, you know, why God instituted, why His Son came and died on the cross for the church, that we might have a vehicle, an instrument, an institution whereby we can get support from our fellow Christians. People are trying to accomplish the same thing, to grow the same direction, to draw nearer to God, and to help bring others along the way. So if there's anything we can do to help, please let us know as we stand to sing.